This is the Lord has been so good to us throughout the entire weekend, and it is so important that you not stop praying. I can't express to you how important that is for me and for you, and for Brother Mark. And I know Brother Mark feels the same way. But when you're praying, you're praying to God who listens and hears and answers your prayers. Your prayers are going up to one who is active right now. His eye is on this meeting. His presence is in this meeting. He's been here. This is no doubt. There's no doubt that God has been with us this weekend. There's no doubt in my mind He's been here this morning. I wouldn't say I have a doubt, but I have a prayer and a beseeching that He is still with us right now and continues with us throughout this morning. That's what we cannot guarantee. I mean, the fact that He was here last night in a very manifest way does not guarantee that He'll be here today. It does not obligate Him to be here today. The fact that He was here this morning in song service does not obligate God to be here. You know, a lot of us came in, we sat down and we started worshiping. And unless something really compels us, we're going to stay here the whole time. God does not have to do that. He does not have to continue with us. But please, we pray that He will continue with us. And what's on my mind this morning has been touched on a number of times already this morning in song and in Brother Bill's comments. So I pray that the Lord is in the matter, because we've heard some beautiful things, about our Lord, our Savior, about His Word, about how He will keep His Word. He has His words and His Word, about His church and how He will keep His church. And this morning what's on my mind is about the Holy Ghost, which is God Himself, and that is ever present with His church. And Brother Bill's mentioned them. I'll get ahead of myself if I don't just go. Well, I want to go take 1 John chapter 5, take one verse from here. This is a verse that Brother Gary mentioned on Thursday night that some scriptures take out. It's not even in there. But this verse is extremely important. From this verse, we get an article of our articles of faith that says that we believe there is one God, the true and living God, the Father, the Word or Son, and the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That is taken from 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." It is not my mind this morning to try to preach on the Trinity Himself. Not that I know enough about the Trinity. I don't understand the triune Godhead. And I don't. No one else does either. So I'm not alone in that. But here's what I do. I believe in the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, the Word is the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. What I do understand is that I don't understand. What I know is that I can't explain it. And there's nothing in nature by which we can draw a comparison. There's no thing that, and there's been attempts. Oh, there's been attempts. There's been a lot of descriptions about God trying to bring Him down to where we can wrap our little minds around Him. We cannot comprehend God. You cannot, by searching, find out God. You cannot look at a three-leaf clover and say, "Oh, that looks like God." They tried that. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can't say that I understand three in one. I am a Son, and I am a Father, and I'm a husband. Now, that is not how God is, because God is three distinct persons.
Amen.
The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is not the Father. But I am one person that has three roles. That is not how God is.
Right, right.
God also is not like this board of directors we have at work, where there's three people on the board, and when they come together and two out of three, they vote two, one votes nay, and they say, well, the ayes have it, and then therefore the board speaks as one voice. That is not how God is.
Amen.
When we say God is one, we do not mean three separate persons that just come together in agreement. We mean God is one in essence and in power and in substance. He is one God.
Amen.
And yet He is three persons. Now that word persons, we think that like a man. But that's not really what the word person means. In Hebrews, when it says that the Son is the express image of His person, what we mean is He's a real being. And guess what? The Holy Ghost is also a real being.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is not a feeling. He's not a just how God moves. The Holy Ghost moves, but He moves. The Holy Ghost is a He. Just as much as in John chapter 1, He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's the Son. That's the Word. But it is also true that in the beginning was the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit was with God, and the Holy Spirit was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now what does it say about the Word? He says all things were made by Him, by the Word of God. By Jesus Christ, we now know His name. They didn't know His name for all those years, but now He was given a name which is above every name. The Word is the Son. The Son is the eternal Son of God. If you want a really good understanding of that, buy this book right here. I won't have to go into that. You can buy that. The Word of God is the Son of God. He's eternal. He's eternal. And so is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost did not come into being. The Holy Ghost has always been God Himself. And when in the beginning all things were made by the Word of God, guess what? All things were made by the Spirit of God too. We can go all the way back to the beginning of creation and see that. But see, God the Father sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be made like unto His brethren, to die for us. But lest we think, and only the Son died for us. I mean, God the Father did not die.
Right, right.
The Holy Ghost did not die for you.
Right.
You're redeemed by the blood of Christ, the Son of God, who was manifest in the flesh, who was also the Son of Man.
Amen.
But that does not mean that the Holy Ghost was not active in your redemption.
Amen.
And I don't just mean, which we'll get into in a moment, I trust, in new birth, but I'm talking about on the cross.
Amen.
Do you realize that, yes, Jesus Christ as the man, Christ Jesus, the Son of Man, was forsaken of His Father. But His Father did not leave the scene. He was active in that moment as God, the judge of sin, on our sins, on His Son. But the Holy Ghost was there. The Holy Ghost was there and He was active. It says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, offered Himself without spot to God. God was in His entire Godhead, active in redeeming all of His people.
Amen.
Oh, God's always been all together as one. God has never been divided in what God does. From creation, where in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and it said darkness was upon the face of the deep. Genesis 1, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, and God said, let there be light. You see the entire triune Godhead there. God, the Holy Spirit. Let's go read Jesus' words in John chapter 14. And again, as I said, He's not the Holy Spirit is not just how we feel. It's not a feeling or even a movement. He is God.
Yes.
Jesus, or God himself said, I am God, there's none else. I'm God, there's none like me. The Holy Ghost can say the same thing and does, and the Word of God says the same thing. God is one in these three distinct but not separate persons. Jesus says it this way in John chapter 14. This is before he is to go to the cross, he says. And he's talking here, where do I want to start? Verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And then Philip says, show us the Father. And Jesus says, have I been so long with you and you have not known me? Philip says, show me the Father. He said, haven't you known me? The point is, he says, I'm the Father of one. If you know me, you know the Father. And he goes on to read that on your own reading. And then come down with me to verse 15. Start there. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then he says, and verse 16, and I will pray the Father. Jesus the Son will ask the Father. He'll pray the Father. And he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Notice the he.
Yes.
He is as much a he, the comforter. The Holy Ghost is as much a he as the Father and the Son.
Amen.
They're distinct. There's a distinction made here. The Father is being asked by the Son, Father, send them another comforter. Why is it another comforter? Because while Jesus was with them, he was their comforter.
He
was their guide. He was the one leading them. He was the one bearing witness to them. He was the one interceding for them as he walked among them as to the Father. And now he's going away. But he says, I will not leave you comfortless. That's a little bit later from here. And that's so good. I'm going to hold on to that. He says, I'm going to send you another comforter. One that's like me, but not me. But guess what? It is me. That's really just confusing. So, another, we're going to skip to the next column on my page. But a little bit later in this chapter, verse 26 says, but verse 25, these things have I spoken of you, being yet present with you. But, so he's like, while I'm here, I've said these things. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So now we've got the Comforter over here saying, it's the Spirit of Truth. Verse 17 says, the Spirit of Truth. And over here in verse 26, it says, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name.
Yeah.
Again, the Father sending the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is asking him to. Jesus is asking on our behalf to send the Comforter. And he calls him the Holy Ghost. And then, so notice that it is the Father sending the Comforter. But if you go to verse 26 of chapter 15, Jesus says this, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. You think that there's any place in which God is separating his duties? Like, does God silo out what he does? No, he tries to give us some way we can understand the vast majesty of God that we can't wrap our head around. But what he does is, don't ever take God and put him in these silos and think that, well, the Son does this and the Father does this and the Holy Spirit does this. What God does, and he does it all together well. He does his pleasure, and he acts in these particular ways I want to talk about this morning. About he gives life, he leads his people, he bears witness, and he intercedes. There's more things that God does, but I only want that this morning. Because I see the Holy Ghost doing these things for us even right now today. But don't forget, God does this. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
But Jesus said when he goes away, he ascends back to the Father, he's going to send the Comforter. It's important for us to understand that he is God. He's the Holy Ghost. We cannot manufacture the Holy Ghost. You cannot beckon him and call him as if he's your servant. You are his servant. He is the King. Jesus is the King, but the Holy Ghost is just as much the King over his kingdom. The Holy Ghost is sent by God to us for the purpose of comfort, for the purpose of leading, and for the purpose of interceding on us. So, we have that blessing here today as the church. The us that we heard about last night. We're only us because we are in fellowship in one. What does it say in Ephesians? We're to endeavor to keep. What are we supposed to try so hard to keep as us, as a church? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit is to be one in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And have Him with us. In John chapter 14, he says, I will send, pray the Father, he will send you another Comforter that he may abide with you forever. My friends, there is no question as to how long the church will have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The church will have the Holy Ghost until Jesus Christ delivers the kingdom back up to the Father. And the Holy Ghost will abide with you forever. There's, so Romans chapter 8. I want to go there because if I don't get to this chapter, then I'll never finish. In Romans chapter 8, we're going to read about the Holy Spirit doing these four things that the Holy Spirit does, that God does, but particularly in the person of the Holy Spirit. First of all, that He creates or gives life. He doesn't just give life, but He abides with that which He gives. He does not, just as God did not, set the world in motion and spin it off and then hands off and just let the world go. God has been active in the creation since the beginning. Oh, He rested on the seventh day from the act of creating. But Jesus says in John, He says, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Meaning, He's telling the Jews there, who love the Sabbath so much, He said, the Sabbath of rest is not about God not working. It's about God stopping that one particular act. But God has never stopped working in the world. And God, Jesus says, and I work. And you know what? The Holy Spirit works too. He hasn't ever stopped either. And even though Jesus says, I'll send another Comforter when I go away, that doesn't mean the Holy Ghost has not been active. Men of old wrote as they were moved by who? By the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
When we say all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, who inspired? The Holy Ghost. Peter says it was the Holy Ghost that moved them. If you read in Hebrews, multiple times that Paul quotes the Old Testament, he says it's the Holy Ghost witnessing. The Holy Ghost saying. I was like, well, I thought that was written in Psalms. Yeah, it was written in Psalms by David, moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is in a New Testament thing. The Holy Ghost is the eternal Spirit, the eternal God. So in Romans chapter 8, as I said, first of all, the Holy Ghost, like as God, creates. And He creates life. He created the world in the beginning with God and was God. But He also has created your new birth, your life. He has created that life within you that is the seed of God. Jesus says in John chapter 3 that you must be born again. When He talks about being born again, He equates that to being born of the Spirit. He says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And just to, again, unite God as one, Jesus is the one who speaks life into your dead soul and you live. So when you're born again, is it the Holy Spirit or is it Jesus?
Yes.
What about God the Father? Is it God the Father? So is everyone that is born of God. You are born again by God. Let's not try to separate God. God loves you so much that His entire Godhead has been active in your life and in your new birth and in your redemption on the cross. All of God is all in. God is all in. Well, the Holy Ghost gives life, but He doesn't just give it and stay away. No, He abides with you. Now, it says in Romans chapter 8 that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I don't have time to talk about that, but let's just put it in Brother Sonny's words. It's not how you walk that matters. It's that you walk. Okay? It's like a whole hour-long sermon by Brother Sonny. It's just that you walk after the Spirit. You know, it's not how good you walk. It's that you have life.
Right.
And that you're able to move and have, you're able to act. You have spiritual life. See, if you're not of the Spirit, you have no spiritual life. And if you have spiritual life, you have eternal life.
Yeah.
It's not something that God starts in you and then tries to tell you to get better. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. You know, as soon as God comes into your soul, as soon as He comes into your soul, right that moment, you are ready for heaven in the soul and spirit. The body, not, but it will be, just as sure as Jesus Christ went back to the Father, so you will. The Holy Spirit has given you life. The Holy Spirit has born you again. And He says, so it's not if you walk, how you walk, it's that you walk. Verse 8 says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So, as soon as the Holy Ghost comes into you, into your soul, you're born of the Spirit of God. You're not in the flesh. In this context, you are not of the people that walk after the flesh. Even though I follow after the flesh and I still have this Romans 7 warfare going on, Paul has transcended his thought from his experience to the positional state that we're in. And he says, now, you're not in this. We're not talking about you when we're talking about the flesh. Not talking about you. We're talking about those that are after God, that are born of God. And he says, the Spirit dwells in you. Dwells. That means He stays with you. He never leaves you. He has made life in you. And he goes on to say, verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and that's another thing. God the Father raised Jesus up from the dead, right? Whom the Father hath raised from the dead. But Jesus said, I lay down my life and I take it up again. But here he says, the Spirit raised up Jesus. Yes, because God raised Jesus from the dead. Okay, so he said, but if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. He dwells in you. He abides in you. Back where we were reading in John chapter 14, Jesus says He's going to send the other Comforter, even the Spirit of truth. And then He says, which the world cannot receive. And what I want to talk about. But He says, verse 17, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So Jesus says the Holy Ghost is not only with you, but He's in you. The Holy Ghost is still active in giving new birth to His people. He only does that one per person because it's only needed once.
That's right.
Okay? But He is still moving. He's still active in creating the new creature in all of God's children. But that's not all He does. He abides with you and He leads you. He leads you like a parent leads his child. Like the best parent leads his child. It says in Romans 8 verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Who's the sons of God?
Everyone that God chose before the foundation of the world. What if this is not telling us all those that follow the Spirit? It's telling you all those that the Spirit leads.
Yeah.
As many as. Are there any of God's children chosen before the world began, put in Christ, who Christ died on the cross for? Are there any of those that the Holy Ghost will not come and give life to? No. Every single one, God will come and meet them where they are, and He'll find them in that waste, howling wilderness, just like Jacob. But that's not all He did with Jacob. He said, and He led him about, and He kept him as the apple of His eye. And He's done that for every one of you. The Holy Ghost has not just given you life, but He also leads you. He leads all of His children. We don't all follow, but He leads everyone. He leads on the inner. Now, how does He lead? In what ways does the Holy Ghost lead us? Well, like a parent, He leads us in teaching. He leads us in guiding. He leads us in caring for us. We can go back to Jesus' words in John chapter 14 and 15 and 16. Because when He says in chapter 14, verse 17, it's the Spirit of truth that He's going to be in you. And then in verse 25, He says, these things I've spoken unto you, being present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. All things? No, all things that pertain to God and Jesus Christ. And it's particularly, He says, the Holy Ghost is going to teach you all things and bring into remembrance, bring all things into remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He's telling the church that the Holy Ghost is going to teach you the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and He will never deviate from that. He will never add to anything. He will not bring in new revelations that Jesus did not teach the apostles. There is not going to be a division in the Godhead where the Holy Ghost is sending some new things down to His people. The Holy Ghost will teach the same doctrines that Jesus Christ Himself gave to those apostles while He was present with them. So when we know that Jesus, that He's guiding them and He's teaching them, and I think it's in John chapter 16 where He says this, verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you in all truth, into all truth. What all truth? Well, as Brother Mike was talking before about the church of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's not all truths there are. It's all the particular truths about Jesus Christ, who God is, and what He's done for us. It's that particular truth about the Lamb of God, who was sacrificed for our sins and rose again from the grave and is seated at the right hand of God. It's that particular truth. He says He'll guide you in all truth, for He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that will He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. You see the unity of God in what God has for the church is what He's always had for the church, and what Jesus Christ left when He built the church. And there's nothing new. If we add things, we are not doing it by the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, in your personal life, He leads you and He guides you. And you should follow that. You say, well, Brother Mike, how do I know that the Holy Spirit's leading you? That's a great question. I do have some answer. It's not as if God's going to just say to you out loud where you hear with your audible ears, as He has fathers in the past at times. I read in Acts where the Spirit speaks to His people. And I wonder how loud that was. Could anyone else have heard it? Or was it in the way I hear it? I don't know. Philip was told to, the Spirit told him to go join himself to the chariot. It says the Spirit spake unto him. I don't know if the bystander could have heard it or not. But He spake to him. He spake to Peter when he was up on the housetop having a vision. And he said, hey, there's some people at the door. Go with them. He said the Spirit bade him to go.
He was leading them. I don't know how that worked exactly out loud or in their heart. But there was a time that Paul wanted to go someplace in the Spirit, so told him not to go. So he leads you to go, he leads you not to go. Well, how do I know? You have to listen in your heart to God who is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Now, it's not going to be heard with the ears, but He is that still small voice that is speaking in your life. You have questions. You have decisions to make in your life. And some of them are hard. How do I know? Well, I just know this. If anything you feel like maybe the Spirit's leading you to, if it contradicts the Word of God that He moved holy men of old to pin down, it is not the Holy Ghost leading you.
Amen.
Now we know what it's not, and then you can kind of find out what it is. God will not lead you to do anything or go anywhere or be anything in life where in His Word He said no. Because the Holy Ghost is not... He hasn't forgotten what He moved men to write. He hasn't forgotten what Jesus said. He said the truth He'll lead you into is exactly what He heard from Jesus. He's not going to contradict Himself. Now you might say, so I'm going to tell you, young ones especially, getting ready to make life choices. Your life choices, you need to follow the leading of the Spirit. And the Spirit has a place He desires you to be. It's with His people. And He's not going to lead you to go to a place that is not where His people are unless you're going to take the church with you. Now, I can't say you can never go somewhere there's not a church. This church was not here in 1760. It was. I don't know exactly when it started, but it's Texas. It's not that old historically. You know, there were no people here with the truth until about 1830s, period, you know? But they came here with the church. They didn't come here to see like what would happen. They brought the church with them. And when you go, if you can help it, I say don't go anywhere where there's not a church. The church. But if you go, take the Lord with you and be the church. Just be the church there and pray that God will send His Spirit there and ministers there and other believers to come, show that light. And you know what there might be? A church. There might be a church there. But you have to go with the intentions. Like our forefathers did not come here and then say, well, I hope a church shows up. They came with Bibles and songs, and they came preaching and praying, and they came, and then the church was here when they got here because they were the church.
Amen.
Because the Holy Ghost led them.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost, I am out of time, Mark, and I have two more things to say. The Holy Ghost bears witness. The Holy Ghost is not just in you, and not just leading you, but He's telling you something. He is speaking directly to you. He's saying this in chapter 8 of Romans. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of truth. There's a particular truth He's about to tell you. The Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you know what God is? The Holy Ghost is telling you constantly. In your spirit, He's telling you, you're mine.
Yeah.
You're my child.
Yeah.
That's why I lead you.
Yeah.
You're my child because I gave birth to you. You're not my child because you chose me. That's not how adoption works. That's not how birth works. When God told us how He worked in our lives, He used illustrations He knows well. God's the best teacher. God does not mess up. When He teaches a lesson, He does not say, oh, that was the worst analogy I could have given. No, it's God. No, see, God said, I created birth. And I know what birth means. And I know that the parents act, and then a child is born. And the child did not act. The child was from the parents. And he goes, and that's what I've done with you. I gave you life. You're mine. And he tells you about it. See, he doesn't just have children. He doesn't leave you comfortless. You know what that word means? When he said, I will not leave you comfortless, he means, the word means, I will not leave you orphans.
Right.
You know what an orphan is? A child of a parent where the parent's not there anymore. It's not someone who has no parents. It's someone who had parents but doesn't anymore have them with him. But Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send a comforter. You know who it's going to be? It's going to be me. He says, I will come to you in the person of the Holy Ghost. And he'll lead you like a parent. And he'll tell you that you're his. He'll say, you're my child. And I love you. And he bears that with you. And that means something to us. It says, if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's telling you that someday you're going to be where he is. But he's also telling you that right now he's where you are.
Amen.
We do not wait till the day when we'll be with him. We wait till the day we'll see him as he is.
Amen.
We wait till the day we'll be in his presence, never to be like to think we're separated. You know, when we're separated from God, we're the ones who did the separating. But he has never left you. And you're his child. He's telling you, bearing witness with you, speaking to you. There's a lot of things under that heading I wanted to talk about, but I'm not going to. We're going to move on. Lastly, the Holy Ghost intercedes for you.
Yeah.
It says, I got to find it. Yeah. Verse 26 of Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit intercedes for you. Now, I know I've read of the place where it says that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And that is true. There is no other man that should be or is in between you and God but Jesus Christ himself. He sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for his people. When you pray to God, Jesus says he takes that prayer and presents it to his Father. He presents it through the merit of his blood and his righteousness. But here it says the Holy Ghost, the Spirit intercedes for us. The Spirit makes intercession for us. The best way I can understand or see this in my head is that the Spirit that's within us carries that prayer right to Jesus and says, here it is, take it to the Father.
Yeah.
The Spirit is the one taking it up there. Before it even gets to Jesus, he's already perfected it. The Holy Ghost prays for us and with us. But what's great about this is, even when our prayers are not right, his are always right.
Amen.
You know, the best way to make sure God will answer your prayer is for it to be the will of God.
Yeah.
What if you pray, thy will be done, that will always be done. Every time. He will always say yes to thy will be done. Always. Well, guess who knows the will of God?
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost knows the will of God.
Yeah.
It says here, he says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. So when the Holy Ghost prays for you, he is praying the will of God. We have access directly to God through the Holy Ghost, who has given us life, who is leading us about, who is bearing witness with us that we're his child, and who is making intercession constantly for us. That's personally and us as the church. The Holy Ghost is with us, and he is. And we pray. We can't command him. We can't manufacture him. He's God, and we're not. He will come, but he has told us we're his. He has told us he loves us. He will not leave us forsaken. So we beseech him to come and be with us. And he is so gracious and merciful that he does. And we know he's here. We feel his presence. And I ask you to keep praying that the Holy Ghost will be upon Brother Mark and upon us as we hear the gospel preached in such a way that we will feel the presence of God with us, and we'll be able to say it is good to be in the house of God. Thank you for your time.